Amen. 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 Good morning, fellas. How are y'all? All right, I got a couple of good mornings. Excellent. If you need more coffee, there's some back there. All right. So here in a second, like Andrew and Rolando will get up and get some more for you. So you're going to be well caffeinated this morning. And so don't go to sleep on me. Hey, this is totally for free. We're not going to talk about this morning, but I love that line and that song that in him we are more than conquerors. If you want a good time, because we won't talk about it unless you want to later on or something like that, but what a fascinating statement to say that we are more than a conqueror. What the heck does that look like? I'm better than a conqueror, because conquering is good, right? I mean, that's pretty awesome. That's like what you want to do, right? Clemson. Oh, see, some of you are like, I'm an Alabama fan, Roll Tide, or whatever. Look good for you for a little bit, right? Like Clemson came back, but anyways, it was a good night. Anyways, but that's good. To conquer something is good, but man, it's a completely different thing to be, listen, more than that. There's something else that God is doing in what he's doing in you and I as we conquer and as we walk in victory in this life. There's something bigger. There's something greater. There's something big there that's going on. There's a reason why that statement is used in the scriptures. That's the reason why God put it in a man's heart to write those words down, to say, listen, that in me, you're more than that. That's awesome, but you're more than that. There's something else going on. So if you want a good time this year, just spend some time with that phrase and see what you come up with, because it'd be pretty awesome, I promise. All right, so hey, we're going to be in the book of James this morning, and so I'm going to read out of the ESV. You're not going to have the verses on the screens. We couldn't quite make that work out here. Some of our settings are odd. So, oh my God, you have to use the paper Bible. It's crazy. All right, and so if you've ever had one of these, I know most of us don't nowadays. So if you've ever had one of these, open it up. It's nice. Paper's usually, man, that even sounds good in here, right? All right, so open it up. Hey, if you don't have a Bible right now, I've got an extra one, or you can bust out your phone. That's totally fine. I use my phone all the time, so don't feel condemned until later. All right, so no, I'm just kidding. My ESV app is awesome. We're going to be in James 1, and man, all I know is I just want us to walk through a text this morning. If you've ever read James 1 is interesting because he starts with the idea of trials. If you've ever read James 1, that's kind of the rhythm of it starts right there. It kind of gets into this idea of count it all joy, my brothers, when you face many trials. We quote those verses a lot. And then actually it has that one verse that we quote, man, really often, and that is, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give him that. And the rhythm of it is that what one of the main things that trials are meant to give you is wisdom. Because most of us don't have that. We have to take possession of that, right? Okay, thank you. Okay, I got two guys willing to admit I'm not wise on my own. I need to go to somebody else that's smarter than me to get it, all right? The rest of you just weren't wise enough to catch that, all right? And so that was the issue there, all right? And so what James is going to say is he's going to lay out this rhythm to go, okay, trials are meant to give you things. You're meant to walk through those things, and it's meant to ultimately give you wisdom. And this is kind of what he's rolling out. And then all of a sudden, James is going to almost throw in a little extra something on what's happening whenever you and I go through difficulties. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but we all do go through difficulties. Every single one of us. Some of you right now, you're right smack in the middle of a trial. And what I think is, James actually says, I want you to count it pure joy when you are engaged in trials. That when you are faced with all different shades and hues of frustration and aggravation, I want you to count it joy because God is doing something. And many of us in this room, we don't have just one trial. We're like James. He says that when you fall into the midst of trials. There's only two places in the Bible where that verb is used to fall into the midst of. One is where a ship falls into the midst of two converging waves and it breaks the ship apart. The other one is right here. When he says you fall into the midst of, it's also has that same connotation of where that guy, the Samaritan is walking or the guy's walking along the road and then he is caught in the midst of thieves. And he's like, uh-oh, this isn't good, right? And then they beat him to a pulp and leave him for dead, right? And he falls into the midst of thieves. It's that kind of idea. And so what James is saying is that when you fall, not in one trial, but when you fall into the midst of many trials, that I want you to count it joy in that because you're going to get things from the Lord. The Lord is going to show you some things. But then he's going to, in verse 12, he starts to add something else to what's happening to you and I when we get into trials. Because every single one of us, we experience those. You might be experiencing it now, or you know what, later on, you're going to experience trials. Things are not going to go right. Things are not going to go your way. You're going to lose the job. You're not going to get the promotion. The wife's going to be mad at you. Right? Well, that's not a trial. I just don't listen. All right, well, that's another sermon for another day, but you're going to go through some things. There's going to be things that don't go the way that you plan. Your checkbook doesn't look the way you want it to, right? There's a bunch of zeros, but then there's not other numbers with the zeros. And that's an issue, right? Things get difficult, things get tight, things get hard. You go through trials, and the reality is that Jesus is going to tell us that you will go through them, that trials will come, and then James is going to say this, verse 12. We're going to go 12 through 18 today. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials, who stands it, right? Stands in it. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of glory, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. But do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, and that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Let's pray and we'll dive into it. God, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your word. Let it now cover us this morning and not just challenge us, but change us and transform us, God. Because that's what we desire this morning, is it not just be a moment where we can talk about stuff together and walk out the same way, but let it be transformative this morning so that it might change our hearts and change who we are from the inside to the outside. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so James in this moment is saying, listen, in every trial, there will be accompanied by a temptation. That temptations so often come through the avenue of trials. When things are difficult, when frustrations come, when things don't go your way, when you're tired, when you're feeling entitled, when you're insecure, when we're prideful and arrogant, when we're angry. There are moments that will come that will be trials, but within that trial will come a temptation. I don't know if you know that or not. I don't know if you realize it that way. The first time I kind of came across that text and was like, that's what he's saying. It made sense to me because most of the time when I struggle with the things that I struggle with is always when things aren't going right. That's when I'm more likely to fall into those temptations. Why? Because when that trial comes, I'm tired, I'm stressed out, I'm frustrated. Anybody? I'm mentally exhausted because I'm trying to figure out how we're going to work through this. And in that moment, a temptation will arise and show up. And normally it's that same one I deal with all the time, right? You know that one for you, it shows up and offers comfort, offers an escape, you know? Because maybe right now work is stressful, work is hard, you're tired. But then when you come home, home isn't necessarily an oasis the way you want it to be, right? And it's difficult. And so then a temptation will present itself. Within that trial, temptation will present itself. And go, I've got a promise of comfort. I've got a promise of stress-free living right now. I've got this offer is made to you. And what James is going to say is he's going to say, listen, within that trial, there's a few things that you shouldn't do, and there's things that you should do in that moment. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The first thing he tells us not to do is don't blame God. That when those temptations come, when those temptations are laid in front of you, and listen, it's different for everybody. So when those temptations are presented to you in your particular situation, when that stressful time comes, when that trial, when we're engaged in that trial and we're trying to stand firm, then when that temptation is presented, when that thing lays out in front of us and promises us certain things, the first thing it'll tell us is don't blame God. Don't say, God, why are you doing this to me? Anybody ever said that? Right? Oh, got a couple of hands there. Honesty in the room. That's what we want, right? Yeah. Yeah. God, I don't understand. Why are you doing this to me? Can't believe this. Cannot believe that you're doing it. He says, don't do that. Because God can't be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt people with evil. So it's not going to be him. So if that temptation comes, it isn't God. Fellas, it's not God. Because I hear it all the time, especially in the line of work I'm in. I hear this all the time. Well, if God didn't want me to do that. Right? Well, I don't understand. Like, if it feels good, that isn't fair. Well, who said anything about fair? I mean, read Romans 9, for goodness sakes. That's a warm blanket on a cold day. It's not, we're not talking about fair here, guys, because I've said it for years. If we get fair, we get hell. All of us. Can we just be straight about that? So we're not talking about, like, what's fair and what's not fair to you. If you got fair, if God was fair across the board, we would all get hell. Death and hell right now. If he was fair. Welcome to Braveheart. Let's pray. Bill, will you stand and pray for us? Right? Because that would be fair, but it's God being unfair that he sends himself as Jesus to die on a cross so that we might be set free from sin and find mercy and grace when we needed it. That's what he's doing. So it's not about fair, but that's what we do all the time. And James is going to say, don't do that. Because God's not going to tempt you with sin. He's not going to do it that way. And now here's the thing. Here's where we struggle, is what we confuse testing with tempting. Because will God test you? Well, you just read it. God will absolutely test you. And so I had a conversation with a young man. We were having fun with this several months ago. And we were talking about what's the difference between testing and tempting. Because will God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil right in your front yard? You better believe he will. He will allow things to be around you, and he will put things right there. Absolutely he will. But you know what he'll never do? Is he'll never lean in and go, hey, Scott. That fruit looks good, bro, doesn't it? Why don't you get some of that fruit? This guy's like, I thought you told me not to eat that fruit. No, man, I was just kidding. Do you see the difference? Will God test you, men? He absolutely will. He will test you. But what he'll never do is he'll never lean in and tell you to do the thing that you shouldn't do. He'll never tempt you and try to make you do that bad thing. And so listen, when that temptation comes, you can't blame God. God didn't do that. The next thing you can't do is you can't blame the devil, because that's not where James is going to go. Let's keep going. He says this, let no one when he is tempted say, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Verse 14, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. So when you're stressed out at work and you come home and your wife says, why don't you take out trash? I've never experienced this. What? That trash is crazy again. I don't understand. I'm like, well, we have 14 trash cans and I can't figure out how in 2 days we fill them all up. Fellas, the answer is yes, babe. I will get on that immediately. But again, that's a different sermon for another day. But in those moments, I'm going to use a silly example. When you're stressed out at work and you're tired and you're exhausted from a long day and you go back into that home and she doesn't respond the way that you respond, there is a moment there that is presented to you. Do you see that? There is a moment there that is presented to you, and there's always that temptation to fly into your normal fit of rage because you want to go into, well, I'm entitled because I worked all day. Well, I've been working all day. And there's that temptation that's presented to you. How is it going to happen? Right? It's like the cliffhanger in a show. You know how they stop the show and go to commercial right at that moment? The build of the music. And then it cuts to like a deodorant commercial and you're like, what? It happens exactly like that, right? It builds to this moment and a temptation is presented to you. Are you going to fly into your fit of rage that you normally do? Oh, because that'll make you feel better. Is that what's going to happen? And what the Bible is going to say here, what James says is, you can't blame God, but nor can you say, well, the devil made me do it. No, he's going to say, there is something broken on the inside of us that it's our own desires. It is our own stuff. It's all on you. You made that call. And you walked into that. He says you are lured and enticed by your own desires. He uses fishing imagery, right? A lure. You know what I'm talking about? And so what I love about this picture is that you can go out, and I'm not an angler, okay? A fisherman. Some of you are like, what's an angler? I'm not a fisherman. I love to fish, but I wouldn't necessarily call myself a fisherman by any stretch of the imagination. So forgive me for the crude illustration. So some of you are going to be like, that doesn't work for bass. I don't care. All right. And so, but listen, okay. So for some, if you think about it, there's different bait for different things, right? Now for a guy like me, I'm just like, hey, just put a worm on the hook, right? And throw it out there with a little bobber thing. All right. But there's different lures for different kinds of things and what you want to catch. Right. And so for some fish, it's that little shiny thing. It's got the little shiny deal on the end of it. And it's just, and that fish is like, whoa. Hey, right? And whoa, what's that? Right? What's that over there? Oh, hey. But for some of them, you know, you get like that little fake frog or whatever, and you throw it out there, right? And it's like, the fish is like, oh, it's a frog, and oh, it looks wounded and delicious, right? And I'm gonna go get that frog, right? And then he doesn't even see the hook. The fish doesn't even care about the hook. Because his only desire is, I want whatever that shiny thing is. And it's moving around. Whoa. Right? And so then he doesn't even see it until it's too late. He takes the bait. What do you do? Set the hook and reel him in. Right? Simple as that. And that's the way that it works. And James is saying, listen, that's the way that it works. And here's what's crazy is that what you can't do in this moment is look at somebody else at your table, and here's what might free you up, okay? Because some of us struggle with the talk at your table thing. Here's the thing, this will free you up, because nobody can look at you and go, That's what you gets you? That's disgusting. That doesn't get me. I mean, you're not, I don't even think you're a fish if you like that kind of thing. Right? Because every single person is different and the lure is going to be different for you. What gets you is different than maybe the guy sitting next to you right now. And what gets him is different than the guy sitting in the back of the room right now or in the front of the room right now. What gets you is what is different than maybe what gets me. It's different for each one of us. What's my point? What's James's point? If I can get you to be a student of anything, be a student of yourself. Know who you are. Know what gets you. You know better than anybody in this room. What entices me? What lures me? What catches my attention? Because the idea of a lure is to take your attention away, promise something amazing, and then set the hook and reel you in. That's the whole point of it. And so what gets you? You know better than anybody what gets you. You know this. And so don't worry about what other people are struggling with. Figure out what works for you. And so that you can guard yourself against those things. Because what's crazy is you can't go, like I had a young man tell me years ago, honestly, sitting in my office. I was a youth pastor in San Angelo, and we're sitting down in my office, and he's going, Pastor Chad, I just need to talk to you. Like, you know, like we went to the park, and we got in the back seat, and I got tempted. Okay, let's do the math here, bro. You know what I'm saying? True story. Sitting in my office, I don't know what happened. You don't know what happened? You went to a park late at night and got in a back seat with a girl you like. What do you not understand about this picture, bro? Like, I don't understand. Like this is crazy. I was like, I lacked a lot of compassion back in the day. I was just like, you're an idiot. What are you doing? That doesn't make any sense, man. Think about it. If that's a struggle for you, don't go to the park in your car by yourself. That's dumb. Don't do that. Listen, guys, every single one of us are exactly like that. There is a temptation. There is a lure that looks good to us. Lures might go by all day long and we don't care because they're not what gets us. Frog looks disgusting. The little shiny thing doesn't matter, right? But that little gooey bait that you put on, I don't even know what that's called. You put it on the end of it and you're just like, gooey bait, oh my God, right? And it gets you, it lures you in. But if you really want me to be honest with you, if you actually look at what James is talking about, James is not talking fishing imagery. He's talking sexual imagery. That's what he's talking about. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, keep reading. That's how the Bible works. It's going to tell you. I'm sorry about that. He says each person is, when he is tempted, is when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. How do you conceive? While you're fishing? Hopefully not. Some of you are like, no, that'd be a good time, right? Sorry about that one, too. What he's talking about is it's a sexual imagery. It's not fishing, although that imagery works. That it does. But what he's talking about is he's talking about the temptress, the woman that wants to tempt you away. That's the reason why desire here is and I know it's sometimes it happens in our language and stuff like that. We don't have like what we have in Spanish has, you know, it's like what is it, La Mesa is table. Is that right? Something like that? Pretty close. I'm getting a yes from Enrique. Thank you. And so it gives you male and female. Greek does the same thing. Desire here is female. That's the idea that he's painting. So he's not doing fishing imagery like what we would do because that makes it too soft. This is sexual imagery. This is temptation sexually. It is the temptress woman promising how awesome the bed is, how ready her body is. See? It's actually worse than a lure, isn't it? Probably tougher. How ready she is and how amazing it's going to be. How fulfilling and satisfying it's going to be when you get to unite with her. That's the imagery that he's using. Because then he's going to say is that when you then take what's here and enact the will out here, then you conceive something. And what do you conceive? Sin. Listen, fellas, can I just set some of you free? Some of you in here beat yourself up so much because you have a long laundry list of temptations. But the temptation itself is not sin. You're going to have trials in life, and the reality that James just told you is get ready, friend, because when the trial comes, a temptation is going to be presented to you. But the temptation itself is not, it is not in any way a sin. Sin only takes place when you and I take what is enticing us and we enact the will and we step into that and we engage and unite ourselves with those desires that come up in us. What does the Bible talk about? The Bible says that we can take every thought captive and make it obedient to the Word of God, to make it obedient to Christ, that Christ in us that makes us more than a conqueror. See what I'm saying? It makes you more than a conqueror. And so we take captive those thoughts. It's only when what's happening here begins to work itself out into activity and we step into those things. That's when it becomes an issue. So where we have to win the battle, and we talk about this a lot, where we win the battle is right here. So we begin to take thoughts captive by the very word of God and make it obedient to those things. And we don't allow ourselves to enact the will. Because what the Bible is going to say, the terrible picture that James is going to say here, is that when you enact the will and you unite yourself with her desire, it conceives something. Desire has a baby and it's named sin. And that when sin grows up, sin has a baby. Everybody's having babies in this text. It's a great text for men's meetings. It says this, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth or gives birth to death. So what James is saying here is that, listen, when you get into a moment of stress, when you get into a moment of frustration, when you get into a moment where the job doesn't work the way you want it to, when home isn't working the way you want it to, when life isn't happening the way you want it to, when things are difficult, when your anxiety level is through the roof, when your insecurities are knocking at your door, when that fit of rage is, I mean, it is on point. And you are struggling and you're stressed out, you're angry, you're frustrated, all of those things. When that temptation is presented, what should you do that will help you? Look down the road. Last time I was with you, we talked about that path. We used Psalms 1 and we walked through that, right? What James is going to say is, look down the road. Where will this take me? If I enact my will and I say yes to the temptation, where will it take me? Because I can tell you this much, is that I'm sure, you know, sadly enough, over the past, especially the past 5 years to a decade, we've had a lot of high-profile pastors, man, fall into sexual sin and things of that sort. And I can promise you this, that for every single one of them, when they really now see where it's led, it doesn't look so sexy now. And that's for all of us, guys. Is that if you'll look down the road, see where that thing leads, it won't look as great as it does right in front of you. And that's James' encouragement. And what does that tell you? You have the ability to do that. James is saying, listen, you have the ability that when that temptation is presented, for you to stop and go, where is this going to lead? James puts it in general terms. It's going to lead to sin, which will eventually lead to death. That's where it's going to lead. But for us, we can look at specifics. Where is that going to lead? How is this going to affect my wife? How is this going to affect my kids? How is this going to affect my witness? How is this going to affect those guys at work? How is this going to affect my church? Look down the road, and you'll see that it doesn't look as sexy as it does right in front of you. doesn't look as fulfilling as it does in front of you if you'll just look down the road. How does he finish? He says this, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." That's where good things come from. "Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." I wish we had time to talk about that, but we don't. I need to finish. Then it says this, "Of his," of God's, "own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth." That even God in this text is giving birth. Do you see that? That he brings forth, that he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. That what God is going to say here is that, listen, I've given birth. And I've given birth to a brand new you. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I've given birth to a brand new you. It's not a renovated you. It's a brand new you. That I've brought you forth. By what? By the word of truth. That he's brought you forth in truth. In good things and perfect things. That's what he's done. That he has sent his son Jesus to die on a cross to set us free. That when we endure trials and that when we face those temptations, we can walk out victorious. That we don't have to bow. I like where he starts this argument. He actually starts with the best part of it. And he says this, verse 12 again. "Blessed is the man." Love that statement. Been on that statement a while, which is the reason why I ended up in this text. Because I loved how Psalms 1 started with, "Blessed is the man." And James here starts with, "Blessed is the man." And he says this, "Who remains steadfast under trial? Yes. For when he has stood the test, he will receive a crown of life." That when we don't walk into those temptations, but we take them captive and we walk out victorious, he says that's where life is. That we'll receive the crown of life when this life is all said and done. Ultimately, we'll get our ultimate prize, which is what? Heaven? No. Which is Jesus. That we get him. That we get to see our hope, our freedom, our peace, and perfect love in the face. We get to look him in the face. And we get him. But in this life, we get to walk free. Because if we walk in a life that is set, that stops, looks down the road, doesn't blame God, doesn't spend all of our time blaming God for stuff, but we allow ourselves to understand who we are and what's going on in us, and that we take captive those temptations by looking down the road and seeing where it goes. That he says, look, there's freedom there. Blessed is the man that lives like that, that's right there. That's how you battle temptation in your life. Amen? Amen. So here's what I want us to do. We got plenty of time. I think we got a little over 10 minutes left. And so what I want us to do is spend some time at your table. But let me encourage you. This is the reason. This is why it's important for us to sit around a table. Because listen, what I want you to do this morning is I want you to think about where you are right now. Are you stressed about something? Say something about it. Are you anxious about something? Say something about it. Let somebody know at your table, you know what? I feel like I'm in a trial right now. And maybe it's multiple things. They've got time. They'll sit with you. Take some time and say, this is where I'm at. I'm just going to be honest. It's stressful at work. And you know what? Home sucks right now. It's not fun. Let's be honest about that. Why is that important? Because if you'll acknowledge where you're at, then you can be much more equipped to go, and you know what? I feel a temptation here. And you can have a brother in Christ look you in the face and say, man, have you thought about where that's going to lead you? Let me help you see that if you can't see it. Because sometimes it's hard to see. Because desire is gorgeous, right? Desire is sexy. And it can blind us from what we need to see. And we need other brothers in Christ to gather around us and help us. And you know what they'll do? They'll help you, and then they'll turn around and say, I'm anxious and struggling with insecurity. I don't know what to do, and it's making me not be the person that I normally am when I go home. And that's a problem. And then you can pray for them and help them out. Can we do that this morning? That's why it's important. I want us to engage this morning on that. So, am I struggling right now? Do I feel like I'm in a trial? If I do, what is that trial? And then number two, am I dealing with a temptation within that trial? What is it? and how can we pray for you? That's what we need to be asking. Good? Hey, I love you guys. Thanks for letting me be here. We'll see y'all Sunday morning. Life group. Make sure you jump into a life group. If you're not already in one, grab a directory before you leave at the Connection Center and get yourself plugged in. Men's retreat is right around the corner. Get your $65 in, and let's do it together. It'll be awesome. Love you guys. Thanks.